Join me in a word of prayer. Holy and gracious God, thank you for Jesus, who came to earth, who poured himself out and took on our likeness to share the good news of your love and grace for all people, the good news that we can turn to you. Bless us now as we delve into your word and learn that you will always be there for us. Amen. Okay. So if you've ever traveled, you will know that translations from other languages into English can sometimes be, well, humorous and sometimes provocative. When Tony and I lived in Doha, we got a big kick out of a certain garage pay station that, in addition to taking our money, also dispensed life advice. So every time we would insert our parking ticket, the machine would show the amount due, yet instead of confirming that this pay station gives change or change is available, the display would flash these words of wisdom: change is possible. Change is possible. Not everyone, of course, welcomes change. Reality is complicated. Change can upset a carefully calibrated system. It can be disruptive. It can create new winners and new losers. It's not surprising that many of us are hesitant or even resistant when it comes to change. Flash back now, nearly 2,000 years ago. It's the Sunday before Passover, the festival commemorating Israel's deliverance from Egyptian slavery. Pilgrims fill Jerusalem's streets. Even Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, travels to Jerusalem. And as the Roman emperor's representative, his procession into Jerusalem displays Rome's imperial power and military might. Pilate symbolizes Roman domination. He is a sign of the status quo. Now, Rome dominated because it co-opted the local elites. So anyone of status in Jerusalem, from King Herod all the way down through the aristocratic families and the temple elites, owed their positions, their wealth, their authority, and their titles in some way or another to the emperor. And anyone who challenged that system would pay dearly. Now, on the other side of the city, change arrives in the person of Jesus. The crowds welcome him, shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." The city is in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" And word gets out, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth." Jesus acts with authority. He enters the temple, drives out the vendors. He heals the blind and the lame. He is a sign of change, of healing, and recovery. When they see these things happening, the chief priests and the elders become uneasy, fearful of the challenge Jesus presents. They confront him when he returns to the temple. "By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority?" These are loaded questions. Jesus, however, traps them. He poses his own question about authority. He brings up John the Baptist, whose prophetic words and actions challenged the authority of none other than King Herod himself. And Jesus then asks, did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin? Now, the question puts the religious authorities in a bind. They risk the crowd's anger if they dismiss John's ministry, and they risk exposure as hypocrites if they acknowledge his legitimacy. So they dodge the question and say, "We don't know." But Jesus isn't done. He tells the parable about the father and his two sons who are sent to work in the vineyard. One son says yes, but doesn't go, and the other says no, but then later changes his mind. Then Jesus asks, which of the two did the father's will? And the religious authorities say, well, of course, just as we did earlier, the first. And then Jesus closes the trap. Before the crowd, he denounces their refusal to accept John's authority, and by extension, his authority, and he exposes them as the second son who says yes, but fails to act. And he says, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into heaven ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds. You know, making the chief priests and the elders the villains of today's reading would be easy. But life is complicated. Reality is complicated. They were good people. They had dedicated their lives to God's service and the welfare of their people. Yet they were stuck. They were captive to the Roman system, and their actions were subject to Roman approval and Roman retribution. Caught between their loyalty, between their people, and the reality of Roman domination, the best course of action was not always clear. Powerless to effect any real change, it was easier for them to maintain the status quo. It's often been said that the only condition necessary for evil to flourish is for good people to do nothing. Where is the gospel for people like them? Where is the gospel? We too live in a complicated reality. Like the chief priests and elders, we inhabit larger systems over which we have little control and which complicate our choices. We may be genuinely concerned about climate change and desire to be good stewards of the earth, yet it's hard for us to wean ourselves of air travel, plastic bags, and fossil fuels. We may fret about labor conditions and income inequality, yet we are addicted to cheap commodities. Every Sunday, we acknowledge that we worship on land unjustly taken from the Hawaiian people, yet we are fuzzy about what amends might look like. Sometimes the best course of action is truly unclear. At other times, we feel powerless to effect any real positive change. It is costly to wrestle with questions of justice. It is far easier to say yes and do nothing. Where is the gospel for people like us? Oddly, we find the gospel in the same parable that condemns the hypocrisy of saying yes and doing nothing. The same parable, you see, holds out the possibility of change. Change is possible. The son who initially says no to his father's invitation later changes his mind. The tax collectors and the prostitutes who listen to John the Baptist change their minds. And even though Jesus chides the chief priests and the elders for not believing John, he does not close the door on them. He does not say, you'll never get to heaven. He says, these other people, they'll get there sooner. Change is possible because grace makes it so. This is the good news for us who live in complicated realities. Unsure about the best course of action and feeling powerless to effect change. Jesus came to earth to proclaim change in our lives. He took on our nature, became like us, emptied himself out to proclaim God's love forever. The good news is that while we may fail and fail again to do the right thing, God never shuts the door. When we change our minds, God is waiting to embrace us. When we feel powerless, God's power is ready to strengthen us. And when we are unsure, the Spirit will guide us. Jesus came to change our minds, to call us back to God, and then he promises that God will continue to work in us, enabling us to will and to work for God's good pleasure. We can be people who say yes and take action. Change is possible because grace makes it so. Amen. We sing hymn 415. Please stand.